This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures yesterday off the Board of Trade for a Wednesday were mostly higher across the board. Corn futures finished 3 to 4 cents higher in old crop months, recovering back most of Tuesday's loss. Stronger than expected weekly ethanol crush offered support on Wednesday, with the USDA also announcing sales of 257,071 tons of corn to Mexico for 2020-2021. China interest in more U.S. corn continues to circulate, but confirmation remains lacking. Support for March corn continues to hold near 415. The USDA report will be out today at 11. There will be no U.S. production update, but demand could be adjusted. The average guess is looking for corn ending stocks to be down about 10 million bushels from last month's 1.702 billion bushel estimate. The USDA could adjust corn production estimates for South America and the Ukraine if they see fit. CONAB will be adjusting their Brazilian production estimate this morning. In the weekly ethanol report, corn used for ethanol was 102 million bushels. This was the highest weekly total since March. Ethanol stocks did increase for the sixth week in a row, up 843,000 barrels to 22.1 million. Ethanol margins remain in the negative and are expected to stay that way through the first quarter of next year. On your basis, it was a quiet day for December corn. March freight was showing 5 to 10% higher in Illinois, with some need for buyers to find additional freight due to slow boats. Barge lines are starting to see some increased interest in February and forward freight. Producer selling remains slow as farmers are generally bullish right now. Processor values firm slightly in the east, with isolated pushes noted in other Midwestern spots. Southeastern rail values have weakened this week, but trade has been light. Your soybeans posted double-digit gains on Wednesday as the wide trading range continues. Positioning ahead of today's crop report offered support Wednesday. The USDA report is expected to have a friendly bias. Bean ending stocks are estimated to fall near 170 million bushel, down from 190 million last month. A high expected export number is the reason for the decrease in stocks. The USDA could adjust South American bean production numbers. The changes are expected to be small. The CONAB will be out with Brazil bean numbers this morning. Soybeans and meal is expected to follow higher today. Malaysian palm oil finished weaker on Wednesday, with its own monthly report on stocks and production out on last night as well. The South American weather forecast shows continued rain for north and central parts of Brazil through this next week. Argentina will remain on the dry side for the coming few days. Due to the presence of La Niña, the South American weather forecast will likely be front and center all winter. Wheat futures closed sharply higher on rumors of Hong Kong interest in U.S. wheat. Very little change is expected in U.S. wheat ending stocks today in the report. December beans are steady. Active bean deliveries are creating lines in the west and along the Illinois River in the basis update here. Producer selling was slow and expected to remain that way. Processor bids were quiet. So again, to recap your grain futures from yesterday, Wednesday off the Board of Trade. Corn for December closed at 422, up 5. March corn closed at 423 and 3 quarters, up 4. May corn closed at 426 and a half yesterday, up 3.5 cents. In the soybean complex, January beans closed at 1158 and a half, up by 12 and 3 quarters. March beans at 1163 and a half, up 12. May beans at 1164 and a half, up 11 and a half. July of next year beans, 1163, up 11. January soybean meal closed at $379.10 a ton, up $2.20. Soybean oil closed at $37.86, up 42 cents. Finally, in the wheat, Chicago wheat was at $5.79 at yesterday's close, up 9. Kansas City wheat at $5.47.5, up by 10.5. Minneapolis wheat at $5.54, up 10.75. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shelled corn bids were 4 cents higher at $3.92 to $4.24. Soybean bids were 13 cents higher at 11.09 to 11.55. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shelled corn bids were 2 to 6 cents higher at 4.04 to 4.27. Soybean bids were up 13 cents at 11.36 to 11.64. In the southern part of the state, shelled corn bids were 4 to 5 cents higher at 4.07 to 4.45. Soybean bids were up 12 to 13 cents at 11.37 to 11.83. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were up 13 cents at 11.67 to 11.79. Basis was unchanged at 8 over to 20 over the January. High-pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $377.10 to $389.10 per ton, up $2.20 a ton, with basis unchanged at 2 under to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were up 4 cents at $4.19 to $4.49, with basis unchanged at 5 under to 25 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 3 to 4 cents higher at 4.27 to 4.30, with basis unchanged to down 1 at 3 to 6 over the March. Soybeans ended 13 to 18 cents higher at 11.58, with basis unchanged to up 5 at 1 under the January. East St. Louis barge loading elevators placed their producer corn bids 4 cents higher at 4.50 to 4.51. These elevators raised their soybean prices 13 cents, with quotations at 11.83 to 11.84. Soft wheat closed steady at $6, and Milo ended the day 5 cents higher at 4.96 to 4.98. January contract bids in the northern part of the state: corn at 392 to 424, soybeans at 1109 to 1154. January contract bids in the central part of the state: corn at 404 to 430, soybeans at 1136 to 1160. January contract bids in the southern part of the state: corn at 410 to 452, soybeans at 1144 to 1191. That concludes our grain report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock report here on this Thursday morning. Front month live cattle futures closed the midweek session 12 to 42 cents higher, save for a 47 cent drop in December. CME has reported no deliveries against the December contract to date. Feeder cattle futures also closed 30 to 40 cents higher with a 55 cent drop in January. The Monday feeder cattle index was 49 cents lower to 137.34. USDA confirmed cash sales were $107 live and $168 dressed in Nebraska Wednesday. The 104.50 to 105 live and 168 dressed in the Western Plains. Wholesale box beef prices were down again on Wednesday, tightening the spread to $16.61. Choice boxes fell another $6.76. Select boxes were $3.77 weaker. Week-to-date cattle slaughter under federal inspection through Wednesday was 354,000 head. That trails last week by 7,000 and last year by 15,000. Lean hog futures closed yesterday with 47 to 70 cent gains. Pork cutout futures ended the day 5 to 30 cents higher. The lean hog index for last Friday was another 19 cents lower at 65.90. USDA's national average base hog price for Wednesday afternoon was 32 cents lower at 55.03. USDA's national pork carcass cutout values 52 cents lower in the Wednesday afternoon update, 77.60. USDA estimates the weekly federally inspected hog slaughter at 1.479 million head through Wednesday. That's 4,000 head above both last year and last week. So recapping your livestock futures from yesterday, Wednesday, after a much higher day compared to earlier on this week: December fat cattle at 107.37, down 47 cents. February cattle, however, closed at 110.97, up 20 cents. April cattle at 115.05, up 12. January feeders closed at 137.02 Wednesday, down 55 cents. March feeders at 138.80, up 30 cents. April feeders 140.42, up 37 cents. Moving on to your hogs, December hogs closed at 65.12 Wednesday, up 57 cents. February hogs at 66.27, up 67 cents. April hogs closed at 69.75, up 52 cents. And the December pork cutout closed at 78.70, up 5 cents. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 32 cents lower in a range of $48 to $57, with the weighted average carcass price of $55.03. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were a dollar lower, with moderate demand from moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $25 to $28. 4 to 5 weighed at 27 to 31, 5 to 6 weighed at 30 to 35, and over 600 pounds at $33 to $37. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and gilts at the country buying points were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $33 to $40. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts totaled 17,361. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 106.50 to 107 and on a dress basis at 165 to 170. Heifers on a live basis traded at 106 to 106.50 and on a dress basis at 167 to 170. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 300 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $77.60, which was 52 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $218.26, which was $6.76 lower. Select carcasses at $201.65, which was $3.77 lower. Estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection. Cattle slaughter was estimated at 120,000, compared to 120,000 last week and 124,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 496,000, compared to 490,000 last week and 492,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Thursday morning, brought to you by DeKalb Asgrow, by the McAdams Millwright Service, and by Linco Precision. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. By Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. And by Stein Seed. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now for Ag News here on your Thursday morning. Former USDA secretaries weighed in during a Farm Foundation forum on the farm issues they think should be top priorities for the next Ag Secretary. Mike Espy, USDA Secretary during the first Clinton administration, laid out what he sees as five areas a Biden Ag Secretary, now possibly if confirmed, former Obama Secretary Tom Vilsack, should focus on.
COVID, trade, rural development, nutrition, and what I call equity in agriculture.
Including women and minority farmers. SB successor Dan Glickman stressed research on animal disease.
About 70% of viruses that affect human beings come from animals. And yet we do very, very little research into this whole area of zoonotics. And this is an enormous threat for the human race. And it's an enormous threat for agriculture.
As COVID and other diseases like Ebola and SARS have shown, George W. Bush Ag Secretary Ann Veneman had a lot of experience with animal disease like mad cow disease, but also echoed Glickman on ag's role in limiting climate change and the need to build out rural broadband.
There needs to be a focus on rural development because of the lack of broadband in rural areas. Children who are trying to learn over hurting the business development, of course, it impacts health and telehealth.
The former Ag Secretary has also stressed the need for a less confrontational trade policy without metals and other tariffs that result in retaliation, and implied criticism of the Trump administration's approach on trade. Also in news off Capitol Hill, I was able to speak with our local Congressman, Rodney Davis. He's looking forward to next year, as most of us are, with the prospects of multiple COVID vaccines being available to the public in the new year. Davis says defeating the virus will ultimately lead to greater opportunities for mid-Illinois farmers.
You know, absolutely. Our farmers, when you look at the great yields they've had, and we look at the increased markets that even more so in the midst of the pandemic than what we anticipated during the trade wars not so long ago, hopefully news is looking up for our farmers and our ag sector. The problem is we're still in the midst of this COVID pandemic, and that's got to be our first priority, is to defeat this virus. And frankly, I'm so proud of the bipartisan work that we were able to do back in the spring to allow for American ingenuity to come up with multiple vaccines. That puts us on a path back to normalcy. We see light at the end of the tunnel. And we've just got to be ready to make sure the programs are in place and the opportunities to sell products in the global marketplace are there once we come out of it.
Davis also talks about the one-week delay of new virus relief till next Friday that would go along with the comprehensive spending bill to fund the federal government.
This is something that should have been done months ago. We all knew that science told us that the virus would get worse in cold weather. We're seeing the movement towards more lockdowns at the state level. And if we don't allow mom-and-pop shops all throughout your listening area to have access to another round of PPP dollars, where we already have $130 billion sitting in a pot of money out in D.C., we just need to give them access to, then you know what? There's going to be failure and blame to go around right here in Washington, D.C.
Going into his fifth term in office, Davis is looking forward to possibly be working again with former U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack under the new Biden administration. He also credits the work of current Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue.
You know, I got a chance to work with former Secretary Vilsack when he was President Obama's Ag Secretary. And if he is named as Ag Secretary, I'm excited that I get a chance to work with him again. While nobody can compare to Sonny Perdue, I think Sonny Perdue did everything we've ever asked him to do throughout the 13th District at one of the toughest times in our nation's history. This is a guy who, who was in Central Illinois on numerous occasions, and we've got to be able to get more people like that into government. But Tom Vilsack and I had a great working relationship, and if he is going to be the choice, then I'm glad it was him rather than somebody that I didn't have a relationship with.
Finally, Davis, who is a member of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, is proud of the investments made on the lock and dam system on the Illinois River this year, and says it will be a game changer for Illinois farmers in the long run.
Well, I'm glad that the Trump administration was finally the administration to invest in our locks and dams along the Illinois and Mississippi River waterways. It's crucial for our farmers to get their products out in the global marketplace, and that the investment in LaGrange has been amazing, and it got done on time, just like they said it would, and I'm excited to see that. So now we have to keep moving, but it took that first investment, Gabe, to be able to get people to take seriously that these investments and these rehabs and these modernization of the old locks in our lock and dam system needed to be repaired and needed to be done, and that's exactly what this has done, and I'm confident that this administration and hopefully any future administration will take what the Trump administration did and continue that process.
Again, that was Congressman Rodney Davis of Taylorville. And not even hours after the interview yesterday with Rodney Davis, several media reports late Wednesday said Joe Biden will nominate Tom Vilsack to once again be Secretary of Agriculture, a post he held for 8 years under the Obama administration. He was also a top rural and ag policy advisor during Biden's presidential campaign. One person familiar with Biden tells Politico that Vilsack's previous experience running USDA was a key to the decision. Biden wants someone who can immediately tackle the hunger and farm challenges that are being made worse by COVID. During his term as USDA Secretary, Vilsack focused on many priorities outside the department's primary mission of focusing on farmers. Under Vilsack, the agency took a deeper dive into other areas like rural development and nutrition. The USDA will play a major role in Biden's response to climate change, which will likely make the job more attractive for Vilsack to return. After years of resistance against climate change discussion, Politico says farm groups are starting to warm up policies that give farmers incentives to capture and store carbon in their soil. The USDA is increasing incentive payments for practices installed on land enrolled in the Continuous Conservation Reserve Program. The Farm Service Agency is upping the practice incentive payments for installing practices from 5 to 20%. Producers will also receive a 10% incentive payment for water quality practices on land enrolled in CRP's continuous sign-up. FSA administers the CRP on behalf of the Commodity Credit Corporation. Quote, the Conservation Reserve Program provides agricultural producers and landowners with a tool to conserve natural resources on their land that is less suitable for farming, according to FSA Administrator Richard Fordyce. We offer several CRP initiatives, including continuous CRP, which greatly benefits natural resources like water. Increasing the incentive payment gives farmers even more reasons to participate in continuous CRP, one of the nation's largest conservation endeavors, he went on to say. Under the continuous CRP program, producers can enroll environmentally sensitive land devoted to certain conservation practices with sign-up availability at any time. FSA automatically accepts offers, provides the land, and producers meet the eligibility requirements. The 2021 Western Farm Show, scheduled for February 19th through the 21st in Kansas City, has been canceled by the Western Equipment Dealers Association, which is the event producer. Health and safety concerns related to COVID-19 are the reason the show will not be happening next year. Given the long history of this event as one of the Midwest's premier farm shows, this is a very disappointing step to take, according to show manager Ken Dean. But it's the responsibility and the responsible decision for the protection of everyone involved during the current pandemic. The Western Farm Show is one of the region's largest indoor ag attractions, featuring 400,000 square feet of exhibit space filled with new farm and ranch equipment as well as thousands of other agricultural products and services. The event draws farmers and ranchers from all over the Midwest, and it features a low-stress livestock handling demonstration, health and safety roundup, an FFA student food drive, and a family living center with food, health, and decor items for sale. Dean noted that the 2021 show would have marked the event's 60th anniversary, which will now be celebrated in 2022. The 2020-2021 U.S. corn crop is entering market channels as 2020 comes to a close. The U.S. Grains Council Corn Harvest Quality Report says the crop has a higher average test weight, lower moisture, and lower total damage relative to each quality's factor average of the previous 5 years. While wet weather in April and May contributed to historic delays in planting and crop maturity last year, the 2020 corn crop was planted slightly ahead of schedule and the average pace for the previous 5 years, and experienced generally favorable conditions during the remainder of the growing season. That resulted in both high grain quality and yield, the report said. The year's crop showed a higher test weight than the 2019 and five-year average results. It showed a lower average of broken corn and foreign material than last year. There were also average corn total damage, a lower average total damage than 2019 and the five-year average, as well as lower than average moisture content than 2019 and the last 5 years. The crop also showed higher than average protein concentration, lower average stress cracks, and lower average 100 kernel weight. We offer this reliable report to help buyers make well-informed decisions by providing reliable and timely information about the quality of the U.S. corn crop, according to USGC Chairman Jim Rabin. Moving on into Illinois State Ag News for your Thursday. A new apprenticeship program for surveyors and mapping technicians is aiming to narrow the gap between available technicians and demand. Technicians assist professional land surveyors in collecting information about boundaries, terrain, and property lines. The Illinois Professional Land Surveyors Association, in partnership with Parkland College in Champaign, has created the Surveyor and Mapping Technician Training Program. This first-in-the-nation program is a two-year, U.S. Department of Labor-recognized apprenticeship program in which apprentices train to become surveyor technicians. Once admitted to the program, apprentices begin a 90-day, no-fault probationary period in which the apprentice or employer can terminate participation without any repercussion. Training consists of on the job, learning, blended with online coursework in 13 in-person labs provided by Parkland. Apprentices are expected to take and pass the Certified Survey Technician Level 1 or Level 2 exam in order to complete the program. During the program, apprentices are paid a minimum of $15 an hour, and upon successful completion, apprentices are guaranteed a job and a minimum salary of $17 an hour. Program graduates also have the option to continue their education and become a fully licensed surveyor. All instruction provided by Parkland College may be then applied towards a bachelor degree. And in other state news, coming up on Tuesday, the cover crop premium discount program will go into effect. The inaugural season of the program last year, initiated by State Senators Scott Bennett and Senator Andy Menar, resulted in 50,000 acres more of cover crops planted in the state, with 70% of applicants identified as planting a cover crop last year for the first time. Farmers are encouraged to take this program into consideration when they make their fall planting decisions. The discount program was designed to promote additional acreage of cover crops that are not covered by other state and federal incentives. Cover crops are a great way to keep soil anchored, salvage nitrogen, and capture carbon, and create weed suppression, according to Jerry Costello, acting Illinois Department of Ag director. In the long run, cover crops will help Illinois farmers reduce the need for fertilizer and reach the goals of nutrient loss reduction strategies. Applications will be made available this month and on the Illinois Department of Ag website. Further information can be obtained by contacting the Illinois Department of Agriculture at 217-782-6297. And finally, precipitation may be a bit more frequent as this month rolls on. But freeze notice ag meteorologist Dan Hicks does not foresee a very active weather pattern for the rest of December.
It doesn't look like an unusually stormy pattern, and it also looks like that even through the 11 to 15 day time frame that the temperature trend will tend to average above normal in many areas. So we may not have any harsh winter weather coming up here in the short term, maybe a little bit more precipitation than we've seen so far, but you know, the longer-term pattern certainly could turn on us as we get farther into winter. You know, we still have a moderate La Nina in the tropical Pacific, and, you know, winter correlations with that type of weather pattern tend to produce colder-than-normal winters, especially north of Illinois. The southern part of the country tends to be a little bit warmer. The heaviest precipitation tends to be across the northern U.S. So certainly with that La Nina in place in the Pacific, and it looks like they will stay that way through the winter time, I certainly would expect that at some point in time, maybe toward later December or beyond, we could start to see a little bit more true winter weather, some harsher conditions returning to the upper Midwest and the north central U.S. But at least here in the short term, it doesn't appear to be all that bad. The system coming in this weekend will probably produce some snow and rain mixed in the northern Midwest, some rain farther south, but there's not a lot of cold air to work with. So at least right now, it doesn't appear to be a major winter system, even though it will bring some mixed precipitation to parts of the Midwest.
Mild Pacific air will be the key ingredient impacting Illinois this week, with temps reaching into the 50s yesterday and expected again today for most parts of Illinois. And that will wrap up your Ag News here on a Thursday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. Also, don't forget to check out our Facebook page, WSMI Agriculture. So again, for this Thursday morning, December 10th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.